Let me ask then if other board members have comments. And again, I'll begin with the moving board member, Mr. Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I support the annual budget, and I compliment you for your leadership in developing a strategic plan and budget we are all able to support. Similar to last year's budget, I'm prepared to vote for it with the understanding that it, like the strategic plan, are subject to revisions by our three prospective new board members. While the strategic plan and budget are good faith efforts to address the board's anticipated needs and direction, as you have made clear, it is not our intention to bind new board members to our decisions today. The strategic plan and the budget recognize the board faces significant new and uncertain challenges in the coming year. These include implementation of the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act, particularly with respect to audits of broker-dealers, the board's efforts to oversee the global network firms, issues related to the board's inability to gain access to inspect certain non-U.S. firms, potential increases in litigation and enforcement referrals, changes in financial accounting and reporting standards, and the continued effects of the global financial crisis. You've outlined the increases in our budget related to inspections, enforcement, research, analysis, and international. These increases reflect, among other things, the continued need to address inspection enforcement issues raised by the global financial crisis and the challenges to some of our international inspections. Considering our new responsibilities and the ongoing challenges of the financial crisis, I believe the board, working closely with the SEC, has exercised restraint in today's request. For example, staffing levels remain stable for many offices, including that of the chief auditor, communications, information technology, budget, and facilities. Notwithstanding the stable funding for the office of chief auditor, I think it is important to recognize Standard's aggressive agenda in response to the financial crisis, their additional broker-dealer audit oversight responsibilities, and their focus on making the auditor's report more relevant to investors. The strategic plan and budget reflect our continued response to deficiencies in audit areas affected by the global financial crisis. The board issued a report in September summarizing recent inspection observations. Its key finding was that audit practices and the quality control systems need to continue to improve in audit areas made more difficult by the crisis. These include, but are not limited to, fair value measurements, allowances for loan losses, off-balance sheet structures, impairment determinations, revenue recognition, inventory valuation, and income taxes. In addition to examining firms' efforts to tackle audit deficiencies in these areas, the board recognizes the need for firms to identify and address the root causes of these audit quality issues, continue its aggressive standard-setting activity in response to these findings, and further pursue the complex investigations being conducted by our enforcement staff. Audit inspections of 2010 financial statements will include the examination of new and complex accounting and auditing issues. Looking around the corner by identifying emerging audit risks has always been an important element of the PCAOB inspection program. The need for expanded research and analysis has become increasingly apparent as the problems of the global economy have grown more complex and the board's oversight authority has expanded. For these reasons, the 2011 budget reflects increased spending in the Office of Research and Analysis. The benefit of the collection and analysis of data is well recognized. For example, in discussions during consideration of the Dodd-Frank Act to establish an Office of Financial Research at the Treasury Department, Senate Banking Committee Subcommittee Security Chairman Jack Reed expressed the need for the government to, quote, gather and analyze financial data to help prevent, detect, and manage systemic risk in our financial system, close quote. Former SEC Chairman Harvey Pitt has also made the case aggressively for regulators to collect more data and to, quote, analyze the data they collect and disseminate that analysis in real time so that the public and our markets would be fully informed. Both have indicated that better data collection analysis may have helped to prevent the recent economic crisis. The PCAOB's Office of Research and Analysis is designed to do exactly what Senator Reed and Chairman Pitt have suggested, in addition to serving the data analysis needs of all the various boards' offices. Issues affecting PCOB inspections in the European Union and other jurisdictions such as China and Switzerland present continued challenges in 2011. These matters require careful consideration by the board in close consultation with the SEC. To meet these challenges, today's budget provides for 3 new staff members in the Office of International Affairs. In addition, the board's inspections have shown that audits requiring work in multiple jurisdictions pose a variety of special risks. To understand and evaluate how the firms address these risks, the board must understand the largest firms' global networks, including their governance structures, sustainability, and assurance of network-wide audit quality. For these reasons, the 2011 budget anticipates that the PCOB will continue to carefully evaluate the global network's impact upon audit quality and methodology, training, and independence programs. In response to a recommendation from the 2008 Treasury Department Advisory Committee on the Auditing Profession, the 2011 budget includes the continued development of a Financial Reporting Fraud Prevention Resource Center. This center will maintain, develop, and disseminate information to share knowledge and raise awareness of the risks of financial reporting fraud. And the budget reflects the immediate needs of our enforcement divisions, of our enforcement division, whose caseload continues to increase. Overall, the strategic plan and 2011 budget being considered today are consistent with my own personal priorities for the board. These include a heightened emphasis on issues that directly affect investors, such as an enhanced remediation process, an emphasis on auditor independence from their clients, and active consideration of the ACAP recommendations. The remediation issue arises because under the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, any audit firm that the PCOB criticizes for defects in its quality control system has 12 months after the date of the inspection report to address or remediate those deficiencies to the board's satisfaction. If the board is not satisfied that the deficiencies are being addressed, then the quality control deficiencies are made public. I believe that our oversight of firms' remediation will benefit when the PCOB, working with the firms, improves our evaluations of the underlying root causes of certain perennial audit problems. PCOB inspections show that some firms have repeated quality control criticisms year after year, and more timely remedial steps must be taken to assure the implementation of appropriate corrective actions. Concerns about auditor independence are not new. As a result of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, there was a reduction in non-audit services provided by firms to their audit clients. More recently, however, on a global scale, many auditing firms have reportedly begun to acquire or affiliate with non-audit service providers or to aggressively grow their existing non-audit businesses. I believe that it is critically important that the profession not regress or in any way begin to compromise auditor independence. It is essential that the PCOB continue to monitor aggressively auditor independence to determine if and when board action is necessary. Appreciate that the board is addressing some of the 2008 Treasury ACAP recommendations, such as the establishment of the Fraud Center and the evaluation of the auditor's report. Still, there are other important outstanding recommendations that I would like to see the board pursue. These include improving the transparency of audit firms, monitoring sources of catastrophic risk, requiring the engagement partner's signatures on audit reports, and appointing independent members to serve on audit firm boards. Many of these issues have been dealt with abroad, and I see no compelling reason for us not to address them here in the United States. Finally, since I view the investor community as the primary stakeholder of the PCOB, I would like to express my appreciation for the board's continued funding of the Investor Advisory Group. I believe that it is critically important for the board not only to provide investors with this opportunity to present their views, but also to address their concerns. In conclusion, I believe the board provides funding to address the key issues facing the board in carrying out its mission. I join you, Mr. Chairman, in acknowledging the contributions of Daryl Pauly, Bill Wiggins, Yas Masagen, and Lily Lynn in providing us with a fiscally responsible budget and for their work on the strategic plan. I would also like to acknowledge the SEC's contribution to the development of both of these plans and to commend you, Mr. Chairman, for guiding the development of a strategic plan and a budget that we all can agree is in the best interest of investors.
Thank you very much, Mr. Harris. You seconded the motion, Mr. Gradison? Mr. Niemeyer.
Well, the proposal before us today provides for an increase in the PCOB's budget for 2011 compared to 2010. I'm comfortable that such an increase is appropriate. Experienced staff, including expert auditors, are our most important asset, both in terms of cost and in terms of what makes us effective. The proposed increase reflects our continued need to ramp up recruiting such staff, which has occurred at a slower pace than optimal, given the employment environment that we have faced since the PCOB opened its doors. Indeed, our hiring challenges are not new. They have been discussed at every budget meeting since we began. But they have become a critical management problem, especially in our inspections. This is the first budget that does not fully fund those inspections. The reality is, the deeper we get into inspections, the more problems we have found, as demonstrated in the board's most recent report on inspections affected by the financial crisis. Our inspections provide an important protection for investors. If we find problems early enough, we can focus firms on correcting both the individual audits as well as the overall quality control deficiency that allowed the problem. If we don't have sufficient inspection coverage, though, investors face the risk that audit failure will manifest too late to prevent investor harm. The PCOB's budget for 2011 is premised on numerous assumptions related to our ability to hire staff. In particular, the budget only funds the increase that at this stage appears feasible to recruit next year, or at 15 additional inspectors for our inspections of issuer audits. In order to set aside the money to fully fund our inspection program, the PCOB anticipates requesting that the Commission approve an increase in the 2011 accounting support fee. Consistent with the Commission's budget rule, the PCOB would not use the additional funds until the board has demonstrated that it has overcome its recruiting difficulties, at which time the board will submit a supplemental budget for the SEC approval. My preference is not to bifurcate this process. We know now we need additional resources to do our inspections, both for both our inspections and domestic program as well as our international inspections. Given the continuing economic crisis both here and abroad, we know the pressures to fudge account financial reporting or give some slack in audits will continue and may even increase. And we know we finally have a strong recruiting pipeline. We are unlikely to know more about any of these matters in January, when we will need to ask to increase our accounting support fee for our contingency reserve. Nevertheless, I appreciate that the board is acknowledging the need for more resources and has laid out a plan to make them available. Given our budget underspends in the past, including this year's substantial underspend because of our hiring problems, I certainly understand the skepticism about our ability to hire what we need. Therefore, while I'm a bit anxious about the effect our hiring challenges may have on our inspections, I do support this proposal. Before I close, I also would want to express my appreciation for our budget office, Bill Wiggins, Yasma Sagian, and Lily Lynn, as well as the oversight of our Chief Administrative Officer, Daryl Pauley, and Phoebe Brown. Phoebe's official title may be Special Counsel to Dan Gelser, but her contributions to the PCOB since inception have gone well beyond Dan's office and has been a benefit to us all. Thank you.
Here, here. Maybe I should make a motion on that last point, too. I think we'll get unanimous support for that. Let me ask you a couple questions about the 2011 budget. I'll begin with something Mr. Niemeyer referred to, and I think I've asked this question probably every year for the last 8 years. As I understand it, we will be underspending our 2010 budget by around $16 million, about 9% of the 2010 budget. The current budget, this year's budget, projects an ending year headcount of budgeted an ending year headcount of 636. I think we now believe that will be 617 or something in that neighborhood. I mean, I wonder if you could comment on the reasons for underspending in 2010, And then I guess my follow-up question would be, what are the reasons why you don't believe, if it's the case, that we'll underspend our 2011 budget?
Sure. The underspend for 2010 primarily falls into three areas, the first being headcount, which we just started to discuss. The 2010 budget, frankly, was fairly aggressive with regard to our ability to recruit in the first quarter of this year. We've structured the 2011 budget to be less aggressive to reflect our history during this time of year. So that kind of goes toward your next question. But that's part of the reason for the underspend in hiring. In addition to hiring, we also are going to underspend our travel budget. And I alluded to this in my statement, but we've had a change in the mix of our trips between domestic and international, and there's a fairly substantial price difference per trip. So that's just as a result of changing conditions over the course of the year. And again, as I said in my statement, we've adjusted the assumptions going forward to reflect what we think is likely to be next year's mix.
And just to interrupt for a second, those changing conditions were, we haven't conducted as many foreign inspections this year as we
budgeted. That's right.
And therefore, we haven't had the expensive foreign trips.
That's right. That's right. The third area is, frankly, difficult to estimate, which is we rely on some expert witnesses and outside consultants to assist us in enforcement matters and in other areas, but in particular with regard to enforcement. It's very hard to anticipate the timing of when those activities will proceed. So it's something we've been aware of for a while and try to keep an eye on. But given what we anticipate next year with regard to a potential increase in litigation and disciplinary proceedings, it's an area where we're going to have to continue to budget. But by and large, the largest amount of the underspend is attributable to headcount. And I think that partially leads into the structure for next year with regard to adjustments to the accounting support fee.
So I appreciate that. I guess just to repeat something that I think has been said in one form or another a couple of times. Now, the 2011 budget applies a somewhat different philosophy, I suppose, than we have in past years, and it's aimed more at asking for the headcount increase that we think we can actually hire, rather than simply adding up the total needs that we think we might have. Hopefully, that minimizes the risk of this kind of shortfall we've seen in the past. On the other hand, again, as has been discussed, there does seem to be evidence that we may be able to do a better job of hiring next year than our original assumptions projected, and we will take advantage of those opportunities, or certainly do everything we can to. Let me ask a couple of, I guess you'd call them budget process questions. And first, there was some discussion earlier about the SEC's budget rule and the process by which we come to this budget, and the back and forth, again, laid out in the rule with the SEC, which involves them sending us what the rule calls a pass back on October 31. In general terms, how does the $204.4 million in this budget compare to the SEC's pass back figure?
Broadly speaking, it is consistent with the pass back and the dollar amount.
Okay, and on the other element of the process, there's been some discussion already about the possibility of asking the SEC to adjust the accounting support fee so that we would have a reserve to deal with specific contingencies. I mean, can you just describe a little how we would go about doing that, what that process would consist of?
Certainly. And I guess there is some prior precedent for this. What we would do is we would request that the SEC adjust the accounting support fee sometime early next year in advance of when we send bills to issuers requesting an upward adjustment. And subsequent to that, when it was appropriate, we would follow that request with a formal supplemental budget request that would identify the specific dollar amount of resources we need, why it couldn't be delayed until the 2012 following budget, and that would provide a lot of additional detail. And then they would act upon that. But until such time as they acted on the supplemental budget request, we wouldn't have the authority to expend the funds. So really it's laid out as a two-step process.
So what would happen if you had step one and not step two? In other words, if the SEC did agree to adjust the support fee to cover some particular contingency or set of contingencies like additional foreign inspections or additional ability to hire, but then as the balance of the year played out, it came to pass that we didn't need or didn't have a basis to seek the money, and we never made the supplemental budget request.
The adjusted amount of the support fee for the contingency would remain unavailable for our use, and at this time next year would be factored into the amount of fees that we would need to assess as part of the 2012 budget.
Let me ask you a couple things about the broker-dealer responsibilities. I think you outlined in your comments the 49 additional positions that are in this budget to address the Dodd-Frank requirement that we oversee the auditors of securities broker-dealers. Do you envision that that's the end of staffing increases to implement that aspect of Dodd-Frank? In other words, does that fully put the program in place?
One of the assumptions in the 2011 budget with regard to broker-dealer auditor oversight is that the Division of Registration Inspections will begin to conduct limited broker-dealer inspections next year. So in essence, the budget reflects a ramp-up in this area. I think as 2011 progresses, collectively the division and you all and us will work to develop a better idea of what the full staffing needs may be in this area and incorporate it into future budgets.
Okay, because I think this is what you just said also. I don't think this is the end. I mean, I don't say that with any great pleasure, but this simply isn't putting in place the full program that Congress has instructed us to put in place with respect
right.
to broker-dealer auditors. Some of that may ultimately depend on what the decisions are that are ultimately made as to whether some can be exempted from oversight. I think in your comments you gave the numbers with respect to how the accounting support fee would divide between securities broker-dealers and public companies. Let's say a few words about what the methodology was for determining that allocation and what it'll be going forward.
Certainly. In developing the split of the accounting support fee, working with each division and office, we went out and looked at their budget needs for 2011 and sought to attribute to those to specific activities involved. Again, as I said in my statement, we know the split of the headcount between broker-dealer-related activities and issuer oversight activities. So starting with that headcount and following up with discussions, we got a good sense of how to back into the split of the budget for each division and office. We also included in our calculation other direct funds that were needed to put the program in place, such as building a funding system for broker-dealers and some of the recruiting activities as well. Then we basically blended the percentages that we got from from certain divisions and offices and applied a kind of an indirect overhead factors to the other parts of the organization that would be affected, such as rent, facilities, admin, IT, and came up with our split. I think given the limited information we have about the scope and size of the program at this time, in all likelihood, we'll revisit the methodology next year. This is also a methodology that we did discuss with SEC staff.
It's an estimate. It may be a sophisticated estimate or well-grounded estimate, but it's an estimate. And I guess my hope would be that in the future we can develop or refine our essentially our internal time and resource tracking so that we'll be able to allocate the two categories of costs based on actual, as you'd say, empirical evidence about how people are spending their time. But we're not at that point yet, but I think that is on the to-do list for next year. It's also been some reference, I think, to the increase in documentation that supports our inspection program and the additional resource needs that's imposed on inspections. And I guess I would say that in the 2010 budget, one of the things we did not do a good job of was estimate what the impact of that documentation change would be on the inspection program. Just comment on where we are with that now, and you believe that the 2011 budget will match the resources that we're devoting to inspections better to what we're actually asking the inspection staff to do in the field today.
We went through 2010 and documentation with respect to the implementation of the documentation, enhanced documentation for the first time. And as a result of the feedback that we got from the staff in connection with that effort, we realized there was a tremendous stress on the system, stress on the staff, and stress on the system and process that we had for the implementation of the documentation. We, as part of our process monitoring this implementation, we established methodology training and detailed processes for it. But in spite of all that, we underestimated significantly the resources that it took to conduct the documentation. So where we're at with respect to 2010 is we're putting together teams to evaluate the results of what occurred in 2010, and particularly directed at evaluating why it is that there was the stress placed on the staff and on the processes, with an eye to reevaluating what we did in 2010 and going forward in 2011 to ensure that the issues that were raised and evaluated are taken care of so that stresses on the system will be reduced going forward. Now, the implications of all this are that they'll take more resources going forward in 2010 to be able to accomplish this this objective. And so you can expect that when we get through the evaluation, we'll report back to the board on our results. But the ultimate, the end result of all this is going to be increased pressure on increased expenditures to be able to bring about the changes that are going to be necessary to enhance the implementation of the documentation going forward without the stress.
Well, thanks for that. I do think this is one of the areas, or maybe one of the chief areas, where this kind of tension between budget for what you think you can hire versus budget for what you need is most on display. And I do think we really have to keep a close handle on how the changes in inspection methodology are affecting the staff and be prepared to make adjustments as we get more information in that area.
Great.
Just two last things. And we've talked a lot about the accounting support fee and the division between issuers and broker-dealers. There is another component to our revenue, which is the annual and special reporting fees. How does the money, and I guess this was the first year that we collected or at least this annual reporting fees under that heading. We've had the registration fees for some time. How do those collections impact this budget?
Under the statute, fees collected for registration and annual reporting apply to the subsequent year's budget. So anything collected in 2011 would offset at the margin the cost of 2012. That said, in 2010, we did see an increase, although not significant relative to the other fees, in the amount of registration-related fees. I think it's, I'm not going to get it exact right, it's more than $100,000, and in prior years, I think it was around 40 or 50. So there has been an increase as a result of requirements this year, but it's not substantial relative to the whole.
So I guess the general methodology is that what we collect each year is then, in effect, a reduction in the accounting support fee that the issuers and the broker-dealers have to pay in the following.
That's right.
Just as a final area, then, we spend a considerable portion of our resources on IT. In the budget before us now, I believe it would be $24.4 million, but I guess that would be somewhere around 11% of the total budget, 11 or 12%. You might take a minute to describe what the major IT projects are, and in particular, I think you made a reference in your comments to the what we call the data warehouse, the enterprise data warehouse, which would be a major new project in 2011. I guess there is some spending on it in the current year, but you might say a bit more about what that project is and why it's worth the money.
Okay. All right. Always need a little help.
don't we all?
The Enterprise Data Warehouse project, more than anything else, is designed to help us centralize our information that Aura uses in a structured repository that makes it easier, frankly, for us to use and conduct analyses from. We currently have a system in place, but it's really time, given the magnitude of the information that we collect, just in sheer volume, that we take another look. So the first version of the EDW, as I said earlier, is expected to really focus on Aura and help enhance the quality and the quantity of information that they can do. It really is the 2011 budget for funds version one, which again is Aura specific, but is viewed as being foundational to benefiting other parts of the organization in the future should the board decide to proceed. So it's a replacement of what we currently have that's viewed as necessary given the volume of information we have and frankly just the need to be able to analyze what's already there and additional information that we may get from other sources.
As I understand it, the data warehouse would bring together in one place, well, at least two broad categories of information. In information about public company, each public company's financial reporting. I don't know, what's its restatement history? Who's its external auditor? What issues are in its financial statements? Information that is available to the public, perhaps not necessarily in the form that we need to use it in. And then it would add to that information that we generate in our inspection program about each issuer's audit. Who's the engagement partner? Who's the firm is public? Who's the engagement partner? What history have we had in looking at that engagement partner? What history have we had in looking at that audit? What sort of deficiencies might we have identified? And bring that information all together in one place to help us figure out which audits involve risk, most risk, what elements of an audit involve risk, how have we dealt with the with those risks in the past, and how might we do it in the future? And I think if it works as planned, it'll be a very powerful tool both for our use in our inspection program, and I think quite possibly for the SEC's use also, because they really don't have a parallel system, but might have some interest in it. So it's I think it's an important project for us, one that involves some cost, maybe involves some risk, but at least from my perspective, the approach to that is to do it in discrete stages rather than one gigantic bet the IT budget approach. I think there's a lot more that could be asked, but I think I'll stop there in terms of the budget. Any other questions or comments about the 2011 budget?
Well, I've got some. I don't have some questions. I've got an observation. As I indicated, I think in my statement, I'm a very strong supporter of ORA. And I believe that it's designed, and I've reviewed this with Joe St. Denis, the head of ORA, to serve the functions that were articulated by both Senator Reid in terms of data collection and analysis and Chairman Pitt. Having said that, throughout the process of the development of the data warehouse, I want to be satisfied that the information will be made public to the maximum extent possible. Bill Gradison is focused on this issue for as long as I can recall. I think it's an extremely important one. And I'm also going to want to make very sure that the data and analysis needs of all the various board offices are served. I'm totally supportive of the first phase. I think there are additional phases. But I wanted to make sure that all the offices are satisfied and the board members are satisfied as well. Mr. Chairman, I think you brought it up a little bit in terms of monitoring various data. I've said it privately before, but I'll say it publicly now, that I think we have to do more in terms of monitoring catastrophic relief risk. And I believe the board has a responsibility to devote more time and resources to understanding the financial condition and the safety and soundness of the firms that we regulate. I don't know whether this is contemplated in ORA, but I'm a very strong, as I say, proponent of the Office of Research and Analysis, but I also want to be satisfied every step of the way in terms of exactly what we're gathering and how it is responsive to the needs of every office at the board. And for the board members themselves. And then I've got a question in terms of the budget, and the question is, does the SEC have any outstanding concerns that you're aware of with respect to the board strategic plan or budget? And then also following up on that, what do you think they will be monitoring most closely next year?
I think in response to the first your first question, the answer is no. Again, based on the consultative process, they're fully up to speed and aware, and we've had plenty of discussion. So, what will they focus on in particular with regard to the budget next year? I'm not trying to be cute, but it's hard to focus that on just a couple items. I think certainly they will be interested in furthering documentation and our non-U.S. inspections activities and the EDW in particular. We spent a lot of time in discussing those items in particular with them. I would expect that would continue, but likewise, they take interest in some of the more operational aspects, and they'll want to see our progress in replacing PeopleSoft and some of the other activities that are behind the scenes. So I think it'll be almost everywhere.
I would think that they would certainly have a focus on headcount. We've had many discussions with the SEC staff about headcount, and I think they'll be very interested to see how the remainder of this year and the first part of next year goes. I would also underscore their interest in the Enterprise Data Warehouse. During the budget discussions that we had with them, they had a lot of questions about that concept. And I would add that I think they were very interested, very supportive, as the board has been, of the EDW concept. So I think those are two areas But I think they will be monitoring our budget performance, particularly as we discuss with them the possibility of the contingency reserve.
I think it's worth mentioning, too, that we have a quarterly report which goes into a great deal of detail, which they receive, and the content of it, at least my observation, is the content has been broadened over time as to reflect the areas of their special interests.
I'd like to think that we have eliminated the element of some surprise questions from the SEC, in that through Bill and Yas and Lily's efforts, we stay in pretty close contact with the SEC staff. They're either here or we are there for meetings on an ongoing basis. So I think if there are emerging issues that the SEC will have for us, that we'll have plenty of advance warning of those.
And it's my understanding, based upon a representation, I thought a representation made at our first investor advisory group meeting, that they are supportive of the fraud center.
That is my understanding.
Okay, thank you very much. The motion before the board is to approve the proposed 2011 budget and transmit it to the SEC. Call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion carries unanimously, and the 2011 budget is approved. That concludes our agenda for today. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving, and the meeting is adjourned.